This is Audible.
Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents An Early Start for Your Child with Autism, using everyday activities to help kids connect, communicate, and learn. By Sally Rogers, Ph.D., Geraldine Dawson, Ph.D., and Lori A. Vismara, Ph.D. Narrated by Anne Marie Lee. Publisher's note. This audiobook is packaged with bonus material, which has been included on the first audio and MP3 CD. If you downloaded this audiobook in a digital format, please visit tantor.com and type An Early Start for Your Child with Autism into the search box. Follow the link to the book's page, then click on PDF Extra 1. When prompted, enter the access code SPEAK to access the bonus material. Introduction. If you are a parent of a child recently diagnosed with autism, you are not alone. A 2009 study by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in Atlanta, Georgia, found that autism spectrum disorders, ASD, affect 1 in 110 children in the United States, meaning that hundreds of thousands of parents have learned that their child has an ASD. This year, more children will be diagnosed with ASD than with cystic fibrosis, AIDS, and cancer combined. Children from all economic and racial backgrounds are affected equally. You are not alone in the chaos of feelings, questions, and concerns that you have now. Please be assured, however, that equipped with solid knowledge and skills, parents of a child newly diagnosed with ASD can put the pieces in place to have satisfying and happy lives. Children with ASD can lead meaningful, productive, and fulfilling lives. This book will help you take action right now that will put you and your child on the road to that kind of life. The goal of this book is to provide parents like you and the other people who love and care for your child with tools and strategies to help your child move onto a positive developmental path as soon as possible. No matter how difficult life may seem right now, there are things you can do starting tomorrow that will, over time, make a tremendous difference in your child's future. You can teach your child to interact with you and others, communicate, enjoy social exchanges, and play. You can be hopeful that your child can learn, engage, and relate to others. We know that many parents are left to fend for themselves for quite a while after their child has received a diagnosis of ASD. Either trained therapists are not available in their area, or there are long waiting lists to get into intervention programs. We know you are eager to begin helping your child. So to ease your frustration and worry while you wait for intervention to start, or to enhance the intervention your child may be receiving now, in this book we offer information, tools, and strategies that you can use immediately on your own. The strategies described here are designed to be used during your everyday interactions with your child. Playing, changing, dressing, bathing, meals, outings, book time, and even household chores. They can transform your day-to-day experiences with your child into enriched learning opportunities, and they can also give your child's treatment a boost as you continue to use them once intervention begins. With these strategies in hand, we are confident that you will help your child learn, communicate, and play. You will likely see changes in your child day by day, week by week. As you begin to use these strategies, you will see how effectively you can help your child with ASD and how responsive your child can be to new learning opportunities. We hope that some of your feelings of fear and frustration will be replaced with a sense of hope, determination, and confidence in yourself as a parent, in your family, and in your child. This book is based on our extensive and ongoing work with families like yours, using the Early Start Denver model to help children become active, curious, and engaged learners in the world. The strategies you'll learn come from formal scientific studies that show children's accelerated development when the Early Start Denver model is delivered, combined with parents' use of these skills. Although children with ASD benefit from and need intensive early intervention services from trained professionals, we believe that parents and other family caregivers can make an enormous difference in their child's learning. We three authors of this book have all worked for many years directly as clinicians, teaching families how to promote engagement, learning, and communication during the daily routines that naturally occur with children. We have found that parents are as effective as therapists in teaching core skills affected by autism. They can use these strategies to make every interaction with their child count toward learning. Parents also have the opportunity to teach skills or behaviors at home that children may not learn elsewhere or may not have much opportunity to practice in other settings. The Early Start Denver model supports parents' relationships with their children. It helps parents develop learning opportunities via simple games, communicative interactions during caregiving, and fun exchanges during other daily routines. No special background or prior knowledge is required. The strategies described here are designed to help parent-child interactions become more fun, more emotionally rich, and more meaningful, while at the same time providing children with more learning opportunities. We hope that parents from many different walks of life and many different backgrounds will find the strategies helpful for developing richer learning experiences for their children from the everyday activities involving playing with toys, bathing, eating meals, grocery shopping, or other activities in their daily lives. We also understand that each child with ASD is unique, with a personal set of special gifts and challenges. As someone once said, if you have met one child with autism, you have met one child with autism. Like each typically developing child, each child with ASD has a unique personality, set of likes and dislikes, talents and challenges. But all young children with ASD, by definition, have trouble relating and communicating with others and playing with toys in a typical way. From decades of research on early development and intervention in children with ASD, we have learned a great deal about the kinds of difficulties that young children with ASD have. It can be hard for them to pay attention to the people around them, including others' language and activities. It is often hard for them to share their feelings, happiness, anger, sadness, frustration, with other people by sending emotional messages to others through their facial expressions, gestures, and sounds or words. They experience a full range of emotions, but may not share them in a way that is easy to understand. They may not be very interested in playing with other children and may not respond very well to other children's efforts to play with them. They often do not use many gestures to communicate and don't seem to understand the gestures of others. They are less likely to imitate others readily, so it can be hard to teach them by showing them how to do something and expecting them to copy it. Many children with ASD enjoy toys, but they often play with them in unusual ways, and their play can be very repetitive. Developing speech and responding to others' speech can be very difficult for many children with ASD, even for those who learn how to repeat other people's words. It is also not unusual for children with ASD to have some challenging behaviors. These challenging behaviors are often seen in other young children as well. But young children with ASD do not respond to the typical ways parents try to teach children how to behave. They may throw tantrums, hit or bite others, destroy objects, and sometimes hurt themselves. This is called self-injurious behavior. This book will teach you strategies for helping your child in each of these areas. Many studies, including studies we authors have conducted ourselves, have shown that early intervention can be tremendously helpful for children with ASD, resulting in significant gains in learning, communicating, and social skills. Some children even lose their diagnosis of ASD as a result of early intervention. Others may still have challenges, but are able to participate well in regular classrooms, develop friendships, and communicate well with others. Still others may continue to have significant challenges requiring ongoing special services, but early intervention will help them progress. Most of the research on early intervention has focused on studies in which the treatment is delivered by trained therapists. The research on parent-delivered early intervention is still at an early stage. However, studies show that parents and other caregivers can learn to use many treatment strategies as well as trained therapists, and that when parents use these strategies, the quality of their interactions with their children improves, and the children become more socially engaged and learn to communicate better with others. We have helped many parents learn to use these strategies at home with their young children, and they have told us again and again how helpful these approaches are for teaching their children to learn, interact with others, communicate, and play in more typical ways. In our work with many children over the years, we have discovered that every single child with ASD can learn to communicate, improve social interactions with others, and increase play skills. We are confident that these techniques will help you feel more effective as a parent, a playmate, and a first teacher for your child. And as you use the techniques and see your child learn from them, you will experience a sense of parental pride and pleasure that comes from seeing your child achieve and knowing that you are part of your child's successes. This book is designed for parents of young children with symptoms of ASD who are in the infant through preschool years / kindergarten. You can use it whether you only suspect your child has ASD or your child has already been diagnosed. It will provide you with step-by-step instructions and examples through which you can use your typical everyday activities to help your child become more engaged, communicative, and interactive with you and with your family. Areas in which most children with ASD have difficulties: paying attention to other people, using social smiles, taking turns and engaging in social play, using gestures and language, imitating others, coordinating attention, eye gaze, with others, playing in typical ways with toys. How to use this book. Each chapter of this book is designed to address questions, concerns, and challenges that most parents of young children with ASD experience. Among the issues that we address are feelings and concerns related to leading your life as a parent of a child with ASD, including knowing what you need to do at this early stage. Getting the best professional help will be uppermost in your mind, so this topic is covered in Chapter 1. Because parenting a child with ASD can be stressful, it will be essential that you begin this journey by considering how you will make sure to take care of yourself and the rest of the family and avoid setting aside those needs to focus solely on the child with ASD. Doing so would mean that you would be less effective and more likely to become worn out in the process. These issues are addressed in Chapter 2. Then, to lay the groundwork for the intervention strategies described in the remaining chapters, Chapter 3 offers a fundamental understanding of what is known about ASD. This provides a context for the treatment approach offered in this book. Each of the remaining chapters describes the intervention strategies in detail, with each chapter building on the previous ones. So it will make sense for most people to read the chapters in order. However, chapters 9 and 13 are not as dependent on earlier chapters as are the others. You may find it helpful to read them earlier in the process and refer to them as you move along in the book. We recognize that some parents will find some chapters more helpful than others, however, depending on their child's unique challenges. As you begin to practice the intervention strategies and incorporate them into your everyday interactions with your child, please keep in mind that the goal of this book is not to transform you from a parent into a therapist, nor will you spend many hours with your child providing therapy. Rather, these strategies are meant to be used during the typical routines that are part of your daily experience, such as during bath time, at the park, or while you are putting your child to bed. They should not take more time than your typical activities with your child would. The strategies build on the loving, caring relationship you already have with your child, and they use that foundation to help your child overcome some of the difficulties that are part of ASD. So let's get started. It's extremely overwhelming to get the diagnosis of autism, then to find out all of the therapies that are available and how many hours they entail. You want to act immediately. You want to make up for lost time. You want to try everything to get your baby back. You hear numbers such as 40-hour-a-week program, and you start to panic. Breathe. You can do this. The beauty of the strategies in this book, which are based on the Early Start Denver model, is that it gives you the tools to interact and teach your child in a naturalistic environment without making therapy a significant strain and burden on your family. The goal is to give your child as many opportunities as a neurotypical child, and this workbook outlines the steps for your family to carry that out in a comfortable and natural way. Part 1. Getting Started. 1. Setting up your child's early intervention program. Carmen and Roberto received a diagnosis of autism for their 3-year-old, Teresa, last week. They spent a whole day at a clinic where Teresa saw person after person who asked her to play with toys, draw, swing on a swing, and do all kinds of other things. Carmen and Roberto were surprised at how much Teresa did for the doctors. These people really seemed to understand Teresa and know just what to do to encourage her to play. Teresa enjoyed herself and did some things for the doctors that her parents had never seen. They were proud of her and glad that it had gone so well. The doctors were kind and friendly to Carmen and Roberto. They spent a lot of time with them, asking them all sorts of questions. At the end, the parents met with the psychologist on the team, Dr. Avila, who spoke both Spanish and English. She said that Teresa had some talents and abilities. She was already beginning to read. But she was also having problems learning to communicate and play. Dr. Avila said that Teresa had autism. This was the reason for her lack of speech, her odd finger movements, her big tantrums, and other problems too. The doctor was so sure about this. That helped Carmen and Roberto. Their daughter wasn't stubborn or spoiled. She had autism, a biological condition. The diagnosis explained everything about her, and she was smart. Dr. Avila reassured Carmen and Roberto that they had not caused Teresa's autism, nor could they have prevented it. However, they could help Teresa a great deal by finding her a good treatment program. The doctor also said that autism was something that did not go away by itself. That was hard to hear, but also, in a way, a kind of relief. Carmen and Roberto now had a name for what was wrong, a diagnosis, a way to explain Teresa. Dr. Avila gave them phone numbers and names of people to call, as well as handouts to read, even some in Spanish for the grandmas, a list of books and websites, a fact sheet about autism, and names of parent groups. Carmen and Roberto went home in a sea of worry, grief, and questions. For a few days, they were just numb and couldn't talk about it or even think clearly about anything. They went through the next few days like robots, going through the motions of everything they had to do at work and at home, but feeling numb and sad. On the weekend, though, over breakfast, Carmen started to talk to Roberto about it all. So many different feelings were going through her at once. She was desperately worried about Teresa, about her future, about what to do, about how to help her do well. She wanted to start finding treatments as the doctor had advised, but she didn't know where to begin. Roberto listened closely to Carmen as she expressed her feelings. Carmen had words for the thoughts and feelings that he was having, too. They were a close couple. He reached out and squeezed her hand. "We'll get through this," he said. "We'll pray, and we'll work with her, and we'll get through this." Carmen squeezed his hand back, wiped away a few tears, and felt grateful for her husband. He listened. He joined. He was there with her. She was not alone. "But what should we do now?" she asked. "Who should we call first?" There was so much information on the sheet the doctor had given them, she had no idea where to start. The news about autism probably opened up a huge new set of feelings and thoughts for you, as it did for Carmen and Roberto, including those involved in finding and beginning treatment for your child. On the one hand, you may feel a sense of urgency to get started. On the other hand, You may find yourself somewhat overwhelmed and even a little reluctant to start the process. The amount of new information and new terminology can be daunting. The numerous phone calls and appointments can make the process seem never-ending. Perhaps you even feel that if you can put off seeking help for a little longer, things will get better on their own. All of these feelings have been shared by countless parents and other family members who have stood in your shoes. We hope to make the process a little easier for you by providing straightforward information and techniques that can set you on the right path. Starting in Chapter 4, we describe concrete ways to help your child increase his social and emotional interactions, communication, and play during your typical daily routines, so that you can increase your child's learning opportunities throughout the day. These parent-delivered strategies can be used together with other interventions for your child, which may involve a number of different people. In this first chapter, we offer information and tips for finding and pulling together the essential ingredients of a successful early intervention program for your child. Getting started. Knowledge is power. At first, the new terms, the difficulty in finding good treatment, and the uncertainty that lies ahead make many parents feel like getting into bed and hiding under the covers. Fortunately, this feeling is soon overshadowed by the determination to find out what is best for their child and to find the best intervention available. But getting these answers can be difficult. There is so much out there, so many different opinions, and so much disagreement among people. A recent survey of thousands of parents found that a large majority of parents, 81%, turn to the Internet to gain an understanding of and help for ASD. The Internet allows parents across the globe to access an enormous amount of information, much of which is valuable. However, the information found on the web can also be misleading and unreliable. As you read and listen to others, keep these questions in mind. Who is the author? Does the author have the background and expertise needed to provide reliable, authoritative information? Has the information been tested thoroughly by research? Has it been published in scientific journals? What is the date of the information? Is it current? Is the website trying to sell you something? Products, assessments, treatments? Does the website claim to have a miraculous cure for ASD? Does the site seem biased? Does it discuss different points of view or only one? Be skeptical. If you don't feel comfortable with your answers to any of these questions, question the truth of the information you are reading on the Internet. To make it easier to sort through the information and options presented on the web, one group, Autism Speaks, the world's largest autism science and advocacy organization, brought parents and professionals together to create a set of tools to help parents walk through those first overwhelming days after diagnosis. As a parent of a young child with ASD, you will find a lot of useful information on the Autism Speaks website under Family Services. If you still have questions about whether your child has ASD or what the specific symptoms of ASD look like, you can check out the ASD video glossary at www.autismspeaks.org/what-autism/video-glossary. The glossary contains more than 100 video clips of children's behavior, illustrating the sometimes subtle differences between typical and atypical behavior. The ASD video glossary can help you learn more about your child's symptoms of ASD. A second important tool for you is the 100-day kit. You can download the kit for free at www.autismspeaks.org/family-services/tool-kits/100-day-kit. This kit, which is available in Spanish, gives information on ASD diagnosis and causes, your child's educational rights, different therapies and treatments, and 10 things your child wishes you knew, as well as safety tips, useful forms, and a glossary. The kit will provide you with a detailed plan for what to do in the next 100 days. Knowledge is power, and the 100-day kit will help you feel better prepared for the start of your journey down the new road that has opened up in front of you as a parent of a child with ASD. The strategies that you will learn starting in Chapter 4 will help you work with your child at home right now, while you are waiting for intervention to begin. They will continue to be helpful once your child is enrolled in an intervention program. That is, they will ensure that your child is learning not only while with teachers and therapists, but also throughout the day-to-day moments with you. You are, after all, your child's most valuable teacher, just as parents of children without an ASD diagnosis are, because you know your child best, and you're the person with whom your child spends the most time. Those daily activities with you are the most important and most frequent learning opportunities your child has, and you are there and ready to make the most of them. Helpful tip. The National Cancer Institute offers these tips for evaluating health-related information on the Internet. A website should make it easy for people to learn who is responsible for the site and its information. If the person in charge of the website did not write the materials, the original source should be clearly identified. Health-related websites should give information about the medical credentials of the people who prepare or review the material on the site. Helpful tip. The 100-day kit from Autism Speaks provides these things: general diagnostic and medical information, help with family issues, guidance for finding services, descriptions of different types of treatments, an action plan for getting started, a glossary, and resources. Finding the best intervention program. In 2001, the National Research Council, 3, an organization that advises the U.S. Congress on policy, made a set of recommendations about best practices for early intervention with young children with ASD. These straightforward recommendations can serve as a basic guide and yardstick by which to assess the effectiveness of an intervention program you're considering. The criteria are as follows. Intervention should begin as soon as possible. The intervention program should be individualized for each child, taking into account each child's unique characteristics, strengths, and challenges. The intervention program should be designed and overseen by a trained, professional, interdisciplinary team. A curriculum that focuses on the specific areas of challenges in ASD should be used. The program should provide for ongoing data collection on the progress the child is making in each skill area, and adjustments to the program should be made when progress is not evident. The child should be actively engaged in the intervention activities and should receive at least 25 hours of structured intervention each week. Parents should be closely involved in the intervention, as well as in setting goals and priorities, and should be taught how to implement the intervention strategies at home. We would add another criterion to this list. The intervention provided for your child should be based on evidence-based practices, EBPs. You may run into this phrase often as you read about autism interventions. It means that the intervention has been tested in scientific studies and published in scientific journals, and that the results showed these intervention practices to be more helpful for young children with ASD than no intervention. With all the claims and all the hype about autism treatment these days, you will want to be sure that your child is receiving interventions that have been tested and found to be effective. How will you know? You can ask the providers if their intervention is based on EBPs, and if you want, you can ask them to share with you the research articles that demonstrated its success. You can find trustworthy information about EBPs on the National Standards Project website, www.nationalautismcenter.org/affiliates, and on the website for the National Professional Development Center on ASD, http://autismpdc.fpg.unc.edu. Receiving appropriate early intervention based on best practices is not just a goal. It is a legal right of your child's, thanks to a law called the Individuals with Disabilities Education Improvement Act, IDEA, which was enacted in 1975 and revised in 2004. This law guarantees the rights of all children, including those with ASD, to a free and appropriate education that meets their unique and individual needs. This means your child with ASD is eligible for free education that addresses her specific needs, even as a toddler. How do you find an early intervention provider? The professional who provided you with the diagnosis may also have provided you with a name and phone number to call to begin the process of starting early intervention services. If this did not happen, your child's doctor may well know the agency and phone number to call. Another route is to call your school district's special education department. Say your child has just received a diagnosis of ASD and ask whom you should speak to. You can also find information on how to find and access early intervention services in your state on the Autism Speaks website, www.autismspeaks.org/family-services/resource-guide, and the Autism Society's website, www.autism-society.org. A good early intervention program can be provided in different ways. If your child is under age 3, you will work with the early intervention provider to develop an individualized family service plan, IFSP. This is a document that you and others will write together. It will describe your child's specific intervention needs and goals, and the types of services your child and family will receive to reach these goals. If your child is 3 years old or older, he will receive an evaluation, and you and the preschool services agency staff members will develop an individualized education program, IEP, for your child, usually under the direction of your local school district. Your child's intervention will move from early intervention to preschool services at age 3, even if you started out with an IFSP. Helpful tip. You can locate early intervention services in your community by calling your school district's special education department. Even if your child is much younger than school age, your school district can help you. Your child's doctor is another source of information about services. There is also information on the Autism Speaks website, www.autismspeaks.org/family-services/resource-guide, and on the Autism Society of America's website, www.autism-society.org. Choosing a birth to 3 program or preschool program. Because the needs of each child with ASD are unique, there are many ways to construct an early intervention program that can help your child, and many types of intervention models to draw from. Some children receive all of their services at a specialized clinic or school-based program, whereas others receive most of their interventions from people who work with the children at home. It is common for young children with autism to receive their intervention from a combination of school, clinic, and/or home-based intervention programs. In some places, services are delivered by people working for the public agency. In other places, the public agency contracts with private groups to serve children. As we have said before, high-quality programs use EBPs. Most EBPs have come from the field of applied behavior analysis, ABA. What is ABA? ABA is the use of teaching practices that come from the scientific study of learning to teach or change behavior. The principles of ABA can be used to teach new skills, shape existing behaviors into new ones, and reduce the frequency of problem behaviors. Later in this book, Chapter 9, we describe the principles of ABA in more detail. For now, the important thing is to look for early intervention programs that use EBPs in their approach. As noted earlier, you can ask any early intervention provider directly whether the program uses EBPs in its teaching approach. If the answer is no, look for additional options. Providers of early intervention programs and services may include early educators, speech-language therapists, behavior analysts, occupational therapists, or other professionals, along with educational or therapy assistants. Although the amount of intervention for preschoolers recommended by the National Research Council is 25 hours per week, we don't know what the best number of hours is for children under 3, and public services in many places may provide only a few hours per week of intervention. You can use the intervention strategies described later in this book, and those you learn from your intervention team at home, to increase the number of hours of high-quality learning experiences your child receives. This will also help your child learn to generalize the skills learned in other settings into daily life at home and in your family activities. If you have a choice of intervention programs, try to visit and observe different programs in action Meet with the director and teachers, and talk with other parents of children participating in the program. As you observe the program and talk with the teachers and parents, imagine your child in this program. Is the intervention approach based on EBPs? Does it seem right for your child? Is this the kind of approach you think will work best for your child? Programs differ in their degree of structure and routine, how they work with parents, how they teach language, how quiet or noisy they are, whether they are delivered at home or in a group, and so on. How do these qualities match your child's individual personality, learning style, and abilities? How do they match your preferences, values, and expectations for how others should interact with your child? The National Research Council recommendations mentioned earlier can be broken down into more specific criteria that you can use to evaluate an early intervention program. You may not be able to determine whether all of the criteria in the checklists are being met without delving into a lot of detail with the providers, but you can get a fairly good idea of whether many of them are being met by observing the program closely and asking questions as they arise. Use of additional therapists. Public agency intervention programs will have speech-language therapists, occupational therapists, psychologists, and physical therapists on staff. If you go through your public agency for services, your child is likely to receive an evaluation by a speech-language therapist, and perhaps an occupational therapist as well. Their information is typically used to build the goals and service plans that appear on your child's IFSP or IEP. Sometimes these therapists work directly with children separately from other children. Sometimes they work with a small group of children, or children and parents. And sometimes they consult with those who are providing the ongoing intervention rather than working directly with children. Some families also use these types of therapists privately, using their children's medical insurance to cover the costs, if possible. If your child is not making enough progress in developing spoken language, discuss this with your team members and ask them whether additional therapy from a speech-language therapist might be helpful. You can ask them for referral sources, and your child's physician should also be able to refer you to a speech-language pathologist whose services are covered by your child's health care insurance. Their treatment may focus on general communication, including use of gesture and developing word use, articulation and speech development, and even social interaction and play. If your child's motor coordination or responses to sensory stimuli are very concerning to you, you can follow the same process just described to find an occupational therapist. Discuss this with your team and your child's physician. Ask whether additional occupational therapy or physical therapy may be helpful to your child. Ask for a referral to a professional whose services are covered by your child's health care insurance. And seek additional treatment. A list of therapists who have experience working with young children with autism in your area is also provided in the resource guide section of the Autism Speaks website. Therapists in the home setting. When an intervention is delivered at home, typically a professional person acts as a program manager or supervisor of the program. The program manager has expertise in early intervention and supervises a team of therapists who may be paraprofessionals who should receive training and ongoing close supervision by the program manager. These paraprofessionals, sometimes also referred to as tutors, aides, interventionists, or home therapists, come to the home regularly to work with the child. In some areas, these services are paid for by the Public Early Intervention Service Agency. In other areas, health insurance will pay for these early intervention services. Sometimes parents pay out of pocket. Reforming insurance coverage practices to cover such services is an important goal for advocacy organizations. If you have home-based therapy, it is important to ensure that the program manager is professionally trained and credentialed, will see your child frequently, will observe and supervise the others working with your child frequently, and is using EBPs. The role of your child's physician in early intervention. Only recently has the impact of your child's medical health on her ability to learn and benefit from early intervention been fully recognized. We have learned that ASD not only affects the brain and behavior, but can also affect the whole body. Thus, your child's physician will play an ongoing role in your child's treatment. Common medical issues that children with ASD may experience include sleep disturbances, such as difficulty falling asleep and frequent awakening, eating difficulties, such as finicky eating and food aversions, gastrointestinal problems, such as constipation and diarrhea, and seizures. Less common medical problems include rare inborn problems with metabolism. A physician should screen for these metabolic conditions as part of the diagnostic workup. Not all physicians are familiar with how to assess and treat the medical issues that your child may be facing. If your child is uncomfortable, tired, or in pain because of a medical issue, your child may start to become aggressive, have a tantrum, or become lethargic. These problem behaviors may be viewed by the physician as just part of the autism. If you suspect that your child has an underlying medical condition, work closely with your child's physician to find the answers. Your child's doctor may need to refer your child to a physician who specializes in autism for appropriate medical assessment and treatment. Such specialty physicians are typically available at university medical centers and children's hospitals, which often have entire autism clinics. Ask your child's doctor if this type of referral is needed for your child. You can also look for a physician in your area by visiting the Family Services section of the Autism Speaks website. Helpful tip. If your diagnosis came from a medical center team, your child probably had a medical workup as part of the process, including a blood draw, urinalysis, and other tests. If your diagnosis came from an independent professional, you may not have had a complete medical workup for your child's autism yet. If you have not, ask your child's doctor to carry out a full medical workup for autism. It is quite important, because in some cases, there is a known medical reason that is contributing to autism, and it may affect your child's treatment. Criteria for measuring the quality of an early intervention program. 1. Does the program engage the children sufficiently? Are all children involved in the classroom activities, or are some children wandering or isolated? Does the program give your child at least 25 hours a week of structured intervention when added to other interventions the child is receiving? Is each teacher or other adult staff member in charge of only 2 to 3 students? Is the program offered year-round? Are the educational activities planned systematically and appropriate for the development age of the children? Does the program track daily progress so that the methods can be assessed for effectiveness? 2. Are staff members well qualified? Do they know how to develop an IEP to meet the unique needs of a child with ASD? Do they know how to use a comprehensive curriculum specifically for ASD? Can they adapt the learning environment and use instructional methods known to help children with ASD learn? Do they use strategies to promote communication and social interaction? Can they implement behavior management techniques based on ABA? Are they able to appropriately handle a crisis? Do they have appropriate credentials in their profession? Do the teaching and therapy assistants receive direct instruction and supervision? Are staff members provided with regular in-service training on educating young children with ASD? Are consultants available to the program? 3. Is the curriculum appropriate for children with ASD? Are educational objectives, methods, and activities based on a written curriculum? Do staff members adapt the curriculum to meet children's unique abilities, challenges, ages, and learning styles? Does the curriculum focus on important areas for learning, including communication and language, fine and gross motor skills, toy play, imaginative play, and social skills? Do children have opportunities to interact with typically developing peers? 4. Are the teaching methods effective? Are the methods EBPs? Do the methods help children participate in appropriate activities? Do the instructional methods take advantage of naturally occurring rewards? Do they encourage children to use learned skills spontaneously in different environments? Does the staff analyze data collected on each child's challenging behaviors, use a functional behavioral assessment, and support positive behavior to reduce challenging behaviors? 5. Does the program involve the family? Does the program involve parents and family members as active participants in all aspects of the child's evaluation and education? Does the program give parents information about the educational philosophy, curriculum, and instructional strategies? Does the program staff respect differences in culture, language, values, and parenting styles among families? Does the program help parents understand child development and support parents' efforts to apply the teaching methods at home? Does the staff meet regularly with parents and inform them about their child's progress? Does the program work with families to find family support services? Does the program help the family transition the child into the next phase of education? Common medical issues that children with ASD experience include sleep disturbances, such as difficulty falling asleep and frequent wakening, eating difficulties, such as finicky eating and food aversions, gastrointestinal problems, such as constipation and diarrhea, and seizures. Sleep difficulties. Sleep problems are extremely common among children with ASD. In fact, it is estimated that over half of children have at least one frequent sleep problem. This means that over half of parents with children with ASD have sleep disruption, since parents' sleep is inevitably disrupted when their child has a sleep difficulty. Among the sleep problems that parents report are delayed sleep onset, night waking, early awakening, obstructive sleep apnea, difficulty breathing when asleep, and reduced need for sleep. Research suggests that ASD may be associated with differences in genes that regulate the sleep cycle and the production of melatonin, Melatonin is a chemical secreted by the pineal gland in the brain that helps regulate the circadian daily rhythms, including the sleep cycle. Occasionally, sleep problems are caused by seizure activity that is occurring during the night. If your child is struggling with a sleep problem, he will not be able to take full advantage of early intervention. Studies have shown that sleep disruption in children, including children with ASD, is associated with poor attention, memory difficulties, and behavioral problems such as tantrums and aggression. The most common sleep problem parents of children with ASD report is insomnia. Often, insomnia and